The following is a point of view program. Opinions expressed are those of the participants.
Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Okay. So I moved over there to Butte.
Right.
It's been 35 or so days.
I wish I could just rip out the exact number because that would be hilarious.
I left on the 5th of April.
Right.
And
today's the 10th?
The 11th, I believe. The day of this recording is the 11th of May. So that's like 36 days or something like that.
Right.
So, in other words, I'm very new to Butte, in other words. But I've taken this opportunity with the In Other Words show to go interview people and ask them how they conceive of Butte. And so on tonight's show, we talked to four people. One of them has lived in Butte for 66 years. The other one has lived there for 35 years. And then the two folks at the inn have lived there for 3 months.
And then we're also going to talk to you, and you have lived there for 36 days.
So everybody has an impression of Butte, and I think for the most part what people know about Butte concerns the pit, and of course concerns the mining history, because that's why the town exists, really, is because of those mines. So there's a little weekly free paper there, the Butte Weekly, and I try and read that as much as possible, because I think a lot of the articles are really informative. And they do, it's a good little paper, and they do a lot of little local things, like you can send in your high school pictures, you know, or like your baby pictures or whatever. So all these old timers in the community, you know, send in their pictures, and it's pretty cool to see stuff like that. I think it serves a good purpose there. So there was this recent article in the Butte Weekly written by Fritz Daly, and it's basically like a state of the pit article. So, do you care to hear some of the factoids?
I definitely do.
Okay. Water in the Berkeley Pit is currently 1,053 feet deep. Water is within 194 feet of reaching the top of the pit at the Montana Resources Concentrator. Water is within 93 feet of reaching the critical water level in the pit. Water is within 72 feet of reaching the critical water level in the Anselmo mine. Water's risen over 7 feet per year since the resumption of mining in 2004. It currently contains over 43 billion gallons of toxic water. Georgetown Lake contains 10.1 billion gallons, so a quarter. The pit fills at a rate of between 3 to 4 million gallons of groundwater per day. 3 to 4 million gallons of surface water per day is also used in Montana resource operation and will eventually flow into the pit. It is the largest contaminated body of water in the U.S. It's the deepest body of water in Montana. It's the third deepest lake in the world, considering it's connected to the Butte mines. The depth of the water in the Kelly mine is 4,279 feet deep. It's the largest mine flooding that's ever taken place in the world. It lies at the headwaters of the Clark Fork and Columbia River basins. In 1995, 342 Canadian snow geese perished in the contaminated acidic mine water. November 30th, 2007, 17 snow geese, 19 ducks, and one swan found dead in the pit. The pH of the water at some levels is less than 2, or worse than battery acid. Toxic water will totally dissolve a 40-foot-long railroad rail in less than 2 weeks. There are approximately 10,000 miles of tunnels underneath the city of Butte, 9,474 reported by the Anaconda Company in 1958. Yankee Doodle Tailing Pond is over 750 feet deep and is possibly the deepest earth-filled dam in the world. The elevation of the dam is now higher than Elk Park. Current Montana Resources Reclamation Bond sits at $46,747,575. And then the final fact, 3 major slides have occurred in the Berkeley Pit since August of 2012. A catastrophic slide in September 98 on the southeast wall of the pit raised the water level 3 feet. A slide in February 2013 raised the water level 1 foot. Major upgrades are necessary to the current treatment plant in order to successfully pump and discharge Berkeley Pit water.
That is astonishing. I guess I've never heard all those facts all at once, and it makes my heart drop through my intestines through the floor. That's horrible.
Yeah, I read that article several times when I came across it, and I just, I never really understood, you know, the immensity of it. And like I say, most of the time when you talk with people about Butte, that's one of the first things that comes up. And I think, you know, my approach in moving there has been to see what else is there, you know, of course, other than the pit. Obviously, that's a part of the town and a part of its history and a part of its future. But, you know, I've just been looking elsewhere, like, you know, what else is there? What is good? And that's what I've heard from a lot of Butte residents there, too, is that, you know, they don't want people to fixate on the pit. But like you say, reading those...
How can you not? How can you not? How does anything else matter in relation to that? Really, I've thought ever since you moved there, actually, about the pit flooding and rolling down the Clark Fork into Missoula and the way that Butte treats its water has a direct impact on everybody else, it being so close to the beginning of the watershed, the headwaters of all the major rivers. And when the Berkeley Pit overflows, it's going to be catastrophic for everybody downstream. The entire country owes it to this part of the world to fix it. You and I have sort of had that conversation a little bit recently too, but those statistics make it seem like that is true. It's inevitable.
So there's a bookstore on Park Street, Books and Books, and two of the ladies we interviewed tonight work there and worked there for a long time. And so the first one is Joe, and she's the person who's lived in Butte most of her life, 66 years. And she said, you know, we got to talking about the pit as well. So we'll hear her perspective on it here in a little bit. And, you know, she basically said there's no way they're going to let it overflow. You know, they're going to have to deal with it at some point. That's her perspective on it.
I hope that's true.
Others say, you know, just move to Uptown.
Do you have...
Move up the hill because yeah. You don't want to be in the flats.
Well, basically move behind it so it doesn't impact you.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't.
Do
yeah.
you have any ideas about what's being done?
I don't. I can't speak on it. I'm hoping that this, you know, Voices from Butte or whatever we're calling this episode of, in other words, will be the first in a series, you know, and I'll interview more people and hopefully have a broader understanding of, you know, all the different things that are going on in Butte nowadays, and of course its history too. But yeah, so I hope to interview someone specifically about the science of the pit and what's going on with that. And I'd also like to get more lay people's opinion on the matter because they live in its midst every day. So it's got to affect your thinking somehow.
Truly, the only thing I know about what's being done about it, I learned on a Radiolab episode where they were talking about scientists working really pretty much around the clock to figure out some way to detoxify the water. I haven't heard of any other solutions, but I'm anticipating, just like with the Milltown Dam outside of Missoula, they'll be doing something like carrying big trucks of dirt to some other place in the country, or there'll be, you know, some Band-Aid at some point to allow us to delay solving the problem for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, but eventually... We're all going to have to figure this out, just like we have to figure out what we're going to do with all the plastic in landfills. You know, it's kind of inevitable.
43 billion gallons of water.
That is incredible.
What do you do with that?
You have to, I guess they just have to figure out a way to make it less acidic. I don't know what that means or what resources are necessary for that. Don't you think, I always wonder too, if like, some Butte kid is going to come up with it in a science fair and it's just going to solve the whole thing. Like, hey, you know what you could do? Drop an electrical rod in there. Turn it on. Fixed.
Well, as soon as this kid emerges, we're going to have him on the show.
I think maybe it's that kind of hopeful thinking or like, I don't know, forced optimism that allows the problem to be delayed, though. So maybe fortunate or unfortunate, I'm not sure. Maybe that kid's being born today, who knows?
So we had some questions to guide these conversations that I had with these people. And so the questions were, how long have you been in Butte? How has Butte changed you since coming here? How has the city changed at all during your tenure? What's it like for newcomers to enter into the community of Butte? What are some things you love about it? Describe the uptown in your own words. and also describe the surrounding mountains in your own words. Then I ask people what they can say about the Berkeley Pit. And I think I phrased it like, you know, as little or as much as you want. You know, what do you think about the pit? And then I said, I asked them if there are any parts of Butte's history they'd want people to know. And then I asked them if social classes still exist in Butte like they used to. In between the interviews tonight, we'll have music, too, that I recorded in Butte. It'll be some of my own music. It'll be music from Larry Hirschberg, a Missoula singer-songwriter, and also music from Big Sky Revival.
My name is Joe Antinoli. I live here in Butte, Montana. I have been here for 65, almost 66 years. And I'm originally from Seattle, Washington.
How has Butte changed you since you came here?
Well, I was a young girl when I came here, a young married woman. And now I'm an old lady. That's how it's changed me. It's the years that have changed me, not Butte, I don't think.
What have those years been like?
Well, the years have been wonderful. It is a great place to live. We have, my husband and I really love the outdoors, and that is the main reason that I like Butte, outside of the fact that it's a very interesting city and is full of wonderful people. But the outdoors and the availability of recreation, I'll have to admit, has a lot to do with my happiness here.
Are there particular places you like to go around here, like any secret spots you could share? Maybe?
Any secret spots? I don't think anything's very secret. We like to hike, and my husband is a great fisherman. A few years ago, he was a great hunter, and mountain climbing and skiing and just all the things that are accessible when you live in the mountains are accessible here. So it's a great place to raise a family. We have 8 children, and they were all but one were born here. And it's been a wonderful spot for them to grow up and to have fun. They're all grown up now. We have 20 grandchildren.
What's that like to look at this massive family you've created?
Oh, it's just wonderful. They're all very fine people. We're proud of every one of them. They all live in Montana except for one daughter who lives in Boise, and that's pretty close. So we're very lucky we get to spend a lot of time with our family.
I've yet to go up on the East Ridge and have yet to go to Our Lady of the Rockies or anything like that. What is it like up there? What is the view like? How do you describe it when you go up there and look down on Butte?
Well, I have a grandson who recently was quoted in saying, "The mountains make everything better." And I think that is probably the way you feel when you're on top of a mountain and you're looking down. It must be very primitive in man. My husband and I have talked about this quite a bit, that it must make you feel safer to be on top of a mountain and to look down, and it's wonderful. We're getting a little too old to climb mountains right now, but he's done a lot of mountain climbing, and I've done some of the big peaks around here and enjoyed it very, very much. It makes you feel safe and makes you feel the awe that comes from looking down in from a high spot.
For people that don't know Butte and, you know, maybe have never been here in the listening area, how would you describe what you see when you look the four directions in Butte? Like, I only learned last week that those mountains to the south are called the Highlands. You know, how do you describe the view?
Well, Butte, of course, was a huge mineral deposit, a great source of wealth, and all the mountains around have wealth in them too. So that's one thing about the mountains. The beauty of the mountains, every day we look at the highlands, the mountains south of us. And if it's been a cold day, it usually has a fresh coat of snow. And then as the summer progresses, that recedes. And it's a great place to walk and look for animals and mushrooms. And wildflowers will be coming very shortly now. And the East Ridge, of course, is the Continental Divide. And that separates us from our neighbors over there who have a little warmer climate than we have. And then as we go south, of course, we have the wonderful Flints and the Pintlers. So you just turn around and there they are all the way around.
Going from the mountains to the city itself, can you describe Uptown in your own words?
Well, Uptown Butte, when I first came here, was a hub of activity because there were three shifts in the mines at that time. And a lot of people lived uptown. Some of those areas are no longer here because they were decimated by the mining industry, which is too bad because we had some very interesting neighborhoods that were right close to the uptown. And so, of course, it isn't the same now because we don't have the activity in the mining industry that we had before. We do have a fine company here that is providing a lot of jobs. But, of course, it's not the same as it was when there were three shifts. And because of the fact that there was so much activity uptown, for some reason people liked to live close to where they worked. And so there were so many little neighborhoods that were very close to the mines where people could just walk to work. And most of those are gone now, but that's what we saw when we came here 65, 70 years ago.
Was it, man, that's hard to believe that whole neighborhoods could just disappear. Was that publicly discussed?
Well, I think that people are very practical in Butte. Most people made their living because of the mining industry. And I think the fact that open pit mining had to be the areas that were originally neighborhoods. And so because of that, you know, people were given a chance to move out on the flat part of town where there is no mining. And the company provided them an exchange for the house that they had, for a house that they could move into. And I think people were actually quite philosophical about it. Of course, we realized, you know, that it was, you know, the end of a whole era in Butte, Meaderville and McQueen's and the Finntown. The Irish section called Cabbage Patch, and so much of Butte was lost. But at the same time, as I say, people seemed to me at that time to be very practical about it, and their jobs were more important to them than the sentiment of living. What was sad, I think, isn't so much the destruction of the homes, but the destruction of the neighborhoods where people of like origins lived, because you had a section of town that was mostly Italian or a section of town that was mostly Cornish or Finnish, and those people were dispersed to other areas in Butte, and they lost that wonderful feeling of being with their own. But, of course, that happens just about everywhere, I think. When we came to live in Butte, my husband is a third-generation Butte person. Both of his grandfathers came here from Europe, one from Slovenia, one from Italy, and they are both buried here in Butte. So, you know, he has witnessed a lot of changes, more than I have. But when we first came, we bought a little house in a new neighborhood, and we're still there. We've been there. It was 65 years in February, actually 66 years in February that we've been in the same house. Of course, we've added on to it, so it's a little different than it was. And we witnessed the, you know, the decimation of some of the neighborhoods, but it didn't affect us because, you know, we lived out on the flat to begin with. And as I said, I think that people were very practical about it and welcomed the chance to see industry expand. They came to Butte to make a living. That's the reason they came, to work in the mines, most of them. And they wanted to make sure that mining continued and that their children maybe could get a job here. It's extremely important for people who came here from different circumstances, and it must be hard for us to really appreciate why they left their homes. They left their homes, they left their families, they left their parents, their siblings, and every Thanksgiving when we sit down, we thank them for coming, because even though Europe is in pretty good condition now, there's nothing like living in this country.
Do you think it's hard for newcomers to come to this town?
I think when I arrived, I had a family right away, and I was very busy with my family. My husband was very busy with his practice, and we were very busy having fun. And, of course, it was hard for us to feel like newcomers because, you know, he's a third-generation Butte person. There were organizations that were aimed at new people. We have a lot of organizations in Butte. It's a very social place. And because of that, I think most newcomers were able to find friends. And I know I did. And so because of that, I can't really speak to how, you know, lonely it must be for some people when they move to a new town. But I will say that in recent years, I think that the old-time Butte people have come to appreciate the new folks a lot more. New folks with new ideas enliven any community. And I think that perhaps sometimes we don't appreciate some new ideas, but then as time goes on, you realize how important those are. So I know, 30 years or so ago, there were quite a few new folks in town who had new ideas about the town, and I think they contributed a great deal. And nowadays, we still have a lot of new folks in town, and I think they're contributing a lot. So I guess that's all I can say about that. I think that there are a couple of things that are really important to remember about Butte. And one is that the town we have was based on working people. The folks who worked in the mines, and then the folks who took care of them, the boarding houses, the laundries, the schools who educated them. These were the heart and soul of Butte, were the folks who worked in the mines for the Anaconda Company, and then all those who supported them in many, many ways to make a town. But we are definitely a town of working class people, and I think because of that, we have a genuineness that perhaps isn't found everywhere. I find that the people in Butte are very quick to help each other, that they're very sociable, that they're very loyal, and very friendly. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of because of their roots.
That's a great answer. And my final question is, and this answer can be as short or as long as you want it to, but what can you say about the Berkeley Pitt
What can I say about the Berkeley Pit? Well, the Berkeley Pit is kind of a work in progress, isn't it? We don't really know what's going to happen to it with the amount of water that keeps going into it. It is quite a tourist attraction and a source of many jokes. The Helsinki Bar has a sign, Helsinki Bar and Yacht Club, because it's right on the edge of the Berkeley Pit. And it would take a hydrologist, which I am definitely not, to answer your question adequately. But I will say sometimes coming to work in the morning, I see a little cloud over the Berkeley Pit because there's fog there. And I guess that maybe that's where it's at right now. It's all kind of foggy.
Next is Joe's co-worker, Mary. And this conversation also took place in the back, like employees' room at Books and Books in Uptown.
My name is Mary Peek. I've lived in Butte for 35 years. I have been at the bookstore for 26 or 27, it might even be 28 years.
How have you changed since coming to Butte?
I think I'm a lot more open to going places and doing things just on the spur of the moment, deciding, let's go do this, or listening to something. We really like listening to PBS, and so we'll hear something on back roads of Montana, and we decide, let's go. So we've seen lots of things we normally wouldn't have seen, just by the amount of books that are written about Butte. I mean, that I've never been to a place where so many books have been written and everybody buys them. If it has Butte on the title, it sells.
Why is that? Why do people want to read and write about Butte?
Butte is just a fascinating place. It has such a wonderful history. And a lot of people remember things that they remember. Things that are happened back when they were a child, and they talk about when they read a book and they say, I remember this. It's fun to hear their stories.
Is there any singular thing that intrigues you about this city?
I think there's so much diversity and everybody seems to want to help everybody too, which is, if somebody has a problem, there are a lot of people that will help you. And there are a lot of resources to go to. And you can just talk to one person. They'll say, I know exactly who you should talk to. And they give you their number. And that person doesn't care that you call them and ask them about how to do something or how to fix a problem, which is really nice. Everybody's really open that way. My husband, when we first moved here, there was a gentleman on the corner who he had been drinking. And he said... You from Butte? And he's and Paul says, no. He's how long have you been here? And he said, about 15 days. And he said, you're from Butte. And everybody makes you feel like that.
That's actually one of the questions that I'm asking people for this, you know, radio show is whether or not it's easy for newcomers to integrate themselves into Butte. So you'd say it is.
I don't think it's hard. I've had customers come through. One couple came through. They had never been to Butte. They drove through Butte. They came to buy a couple books and said, we're moving here next summer. And I said, have you spent a winter here yet? And they said, no, but we don't care. We love it here.
I've spent 5 winters in Missoula, but have never spent a winter in Butte. Not yet. How would you describe them?
Well, I never spent a winter in Missoula, so I don't know how to compare it. But the first year we moved here, it was November, and it started, there was no snow on the ground, and the next day it started snowing, and it turned to minus 40 degrees, and it was like that for 2 weeks. So to us, that's winter in Butte, because that was our first winter, and that's what we thought was normal. It's never been like that since then. And the winters have been getting very mild, which worries us a lot. But
it's still pretty harsh here, you think?
No, I don't think it's bad at all. I like the winters. Sometimes it's people here, because we get so much sun, it can be 20 degrees and there are people running out in their shirt sleeves, and because it doesn't feel cold when the sun's beating down on you. If the wind comes up, that's a different story. You head back inside really fast. But it's very pleasant.
How has the city changed since you moved here?
Well, a lot of the uptown stuff is gone, and businesses have gone down to the flats, and that's kind of sad. The buildings up here are so neat, and there are a few businesses moving in. There's one across the street that's just coming in, and we're really anxious, and they're really fixing up the building. It looks beautiful on the outside. And people are trying to fix things up to get people to come uptown, and I hope it's successful, because I think it's just a neat feeling just walking around town, looking at things. It's really gives you a really good feeling.
Is there any reason why it might not work, why people might not be drawn to uptown?
I think part of it is because they have to come up the hill and they don't want to. And there's so much down there, you know, why it only takes from my house, which is down on the flats, takes me 6 minutes to get to work if I hit all the lights. It's not a big deal, but to some people, it feels like it's a big deal.
Is that divide? You know, that's one thing. As a newcomer in town, I've only recently begun to conceive of is the difference, you know, between there's uptown and then there's the flats. Is the separation of those two, is it somehow related to what Joe was talking about when, the pit expanded and miners moved to the flats? You know, there were incentives to move down there.
Yes. Well, we weren't here when that happened, so that I really couldn't speak to. I don't understand why the people in the flats don't come uptown more often, because it's beautiful up here. It's not beautiful down there, I think.
How would you describe the view in Butte? One of my good friends here, a woman that I met through doing a different episode of this very same radio program, says Butte is where the poor people have the view.
Well, if you walk, drive up into Walkerville, it's like going into a whole new city, and you feel like you're in a whole new dimension when you go in. I understand the buildings, a lot of the buildings are run down, but there's something about them. There's a charm. It's just different. You just feel like you're in a whole different world. And so we like to go up there sometimes, just drive around just because of the feeling. I worry about the East Ridge because of the pine beetle kill up there. But everywhere we turn, and that's one of the reasons I wouldn't like to live anywhere else, because we're surrounded by mountains here. And we can get, it's easy for us to get to Helens, an hour away, or Bozeman. And we like to go to Missoula, that's 2 hours away, if we need to get something that we can't get here. But I really like it here a lot. You can, 15 minutes away from your house, you can go hiking. You can even go fishing down in a little creek down here. 50-mile radius of us. Some of the best fishing in the world. That's for my husband. I don't fish. That's the reason we moved here. There's just so much to do. We never get bored here.
I'd like you to talk a little bit more about uptown. How would you describe it in your own words? You know, just if you had to sum it up, what is the general feeling of uptown? You said Walkerville's like a different dimension. You know,
yeah. Well, it's history when you're walking. It's so much fun when you're walking. You've come across something that you know has been there for 100 years, and it hasn't been covered up with asphalt yet. You know. Just looking at the old buildings and knowing a little bit about who was in there, because you can read the signs, so you know who was there. And you keep dreaming, oh, if I just had a couple million dollars, I could just fix one of these buildings up. It would be so much fun. But it's just fun to watch and to look. When my husband's office was uptown, he used to every day went for lunch. That's what he would do. And a couple of other people, they would just walk and look at the buildings, and they always saw something new and different.
Is there any particular part of Butte's history that, you know, you really love that you'd like to share? Even if it's your own personal history. You know,
well, I don't have any real history here, because although I've been here for 34 years, 35 years.
Yeah.
There aren't quite as many people uptown as there was when we first moved here, but it's starting to get built up a little bit. And we're getting a lot more art things. There's an art walk and up here that was not here before. And I think they're trying to do more to get people involved in doing things with art, with history. They're offering history classes for people, for Butte history classes for people and stuff. And there's one gentleman that does a garden up here. It's just gorgeous when it starts blooming. It's nice.
Okay, one more question for you.
Okay.
Said the same one to Joe. Your answer can be as long or as short as you want it to be. What can you say about the Berkeley Pit? Because I think a lot of people that don't know anything about Butte, they know that, you know?
I worry about it overflowing. I don't think it's going to. They'd stop it before. I know that Tech is trying to find ways to get some of the minerals and stuff out of the water, so to make money doing that. It's nice to look at, but I hate seeing all that water, and I know how bad it is for animals. So I don't really like it that much.
Thanks again for talking with me.
You're welcome.
So there's a trend that I think has occurred in a lot of urban areas, you know, in history, where there's a big boom and there's a bust, and a lot of spaces left unoccupied, and then slowly artists begin to filter in and occupy these spaces because rent is cheap, and it, you know, kind of creates a renaissance, so to say, in these urban areas that were once vibrant. And so that kind of thing is being discussed a lot, at least in those circles I've been introduced to in Butte in the past 36 days of living there. There's this general feeling that some kind of reinvigoration of the uptown is taking place, and it manifests in things like the IBRC, the Imagine Butte Resource Center, which is in the Phoenix Building on Park Street, and they hold writers' workshops there, and they have an art gallery there and rotating exhibits. I also do other kind of classes, and people are welcome to come and set up classes and do really anything art-related. You know, it's kind of a free-form space. So that's one example. The IBRC also puts out a publication, BAM, the Butte Arts Monthly. And so there are those things. And then, of course, the Folk Festival is another example that's brought a lot of revenue and a lot of attention to Butte and a lot of people to Butte. Happens every July. You know, we're starting a radio station there. That's a new endeavor, too, that's kind of along these lines. It'll be located in Uptown. And so there's this general feeling there that some kind of revitalization is taking place. So the next two people we'll talk to are newcomers to town. Unlike Mary and Joe, they haven't lived here for decades. They've only been in town a little bit longer than I have, really, I think, since February. And so I asked them the same questions, their opinion of the Pit, how they've changed since getting to Butte, how Butte has changed since they've been there. And that's their perspective on the city at this point. They're very much a part of this revitalization taking place. Do you sense that in your trips to Butte?
That there's a revitalization? Yeah, I do. And I think it's pretty palpable when you're there, especially in Uptown. There's new coats of paint on things that look like they've been broken down and empty for decades. And there's new buildings and new window displays. And I think it's a pretty exciting place to be while still having that kind of ancient, antique tie to the past that is really attractive to me and really enjoyable to be a part of. And that's a big part of why I wanted to participate in starting the radio station, because I can see that revitalization happening. I also feel, though, very unsure about the idea of being an outsider bringing something to a community that I'm not a part of. Yeah. And so I feel like it's really important. And I think the people that have been working on the radio station, at least those of us that aren't part of Butte, have been really careful to make sure that there's a lot of listening before moving or acting, to make sure that it's in the best interest of the people that we're attempting to serve.
Yeah, do they want this?
Well, and now you are in Butte, and so you are integrating into the community, and I feel a lot better about it. And our connections with Amanda Curtis, I think, really made me convinced that this was a great thing to do and fun for me, and a lot of learning taking place around it for me, especially because I've never started a radio station before. I've never been part of anything like this before. So it's pretty exciting, and it's a great opportunity. And I feel like having you there and Amanda and the other board members that are Butians makes it very probable that we're not going to do anything that's going to be offensive or feel like we're saying there's something wrong with your community that we want to fix. It's more like we love your community and we want to be a part of it.
We want to add to it.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to do something that, that we love and something that has been life-changing for us, and want to put it out there in this other place.
Yeah. Cause that's how you and I met, is through the radio, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, and Dark, the two people we're getting ready to interview, one is named Dark and one is named Carson. And I went to their house and talked to them. And they talk at some point in their interview about this dichotomy between the flats and uptown. It's almost like two different cities is what their understanding is so far. And I can see that to some extent. There's definitely a different vibe down in the flats than there is in uptown. However, I joined this billiards league with my landlord. And our first game was down in the flats. And so I went down there, and I think we were at Jim's Bar, the very place that you and I have played volleyball in the past. And I was talking with people down in the flats about the radio station. And I received the same reaction that I would receive from, you know, these younger art types up in uptown. And it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, that was the response.
I honestly feel like the flats, the volleyball game we had there, and the sporting events that I've taken my kids to in Butte, which I'm in Butte like six times a year with my kids, as involved as in athletics as they are. And I almost feel like the flats is more my people. That's Linwood, Washington right there. That's exactly.
Yeah. That's Tulsa.
Yeah. That's, those are the people that, you know, work in the mall and love it. And I can definitely relate to that.
Okay. So maybe for the next episode of, you know, Voices from Butte, I'll go down to the flats and talk to people that, you know, exclusively that live there. I'm thinking it'd be a good idea to do, you know, 3 to 5 people per episode. And so, but for this one, we'll remain in Uptown for the end of the show, and we'll talk with Dark and Carson.
Excuse me, ma'am, what's your full name?
I'm Carson Gray Specker.
And I'm Dark Sevier.
Yes.
And we know each other.
Sort of.
So how long have you been in Butte?
I've been in Butte for 2 months. I got here 2 months ago.
So almost 66 days.
March. Yes, almost 66 days. So I come with a particular perspective, a brand new perspective. And how Butte has changed since I've been here, I'm not exactly sure, except that they're seeing, I mean, what I can tell is that there's a flourishing and burgeoning of artistic energy and social energy. The Butte Ideas Exchange happened for the first time, and the IBRC, the Imagine Butte Resource Center, opened just as we got here. And it has definitely changed. So I have noticed some changes, and how Butte has changed me in the last 2 months. That's a good question. I feel pretty grounded here, actually. I like it. I like Butte a lot.
You've had a good reception?
I have had
a
wonderful reception. The town, I've met some of the most interesting people I've encountered in a very long time. There's an authenticity and an earnestness and a commitment. It feels like a real commitment and an openness, and there's real heart. That's what I'm sensing. There's real heart. And I've spent a lot of my life in a lot of big cities like Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, but I've also spent a lot of time in smaller towns like Independence, Kansas, and places in Nebraska for reasons of like arts outreach and kind of rural arts programs and commissions that I've received. And I have a great regard and affection for the smaller American town and what it allows, what it provides that cities just completely obscure. So I guess in the past 2 months, I've settled into that relationship with a smaller town that I can walk in. And I meet people on the street all the time that I know or I don't know, and then I know because they're so friendly. And there's a great, I've encountered a tremendous generosity of spirit. You know, Butte feels to me like, I mean, I'm a writer, so I mean, the world to me is sort of, it's an animated universe. You know, I have to negotiate the world that way. And Butte does feel like it's got this very serious mythological character to it. It's this very animated place. I mean, everywhere you look, there's the Lady of the Rockies and there's the Berkeley Pit, which does, it feels like sort of monster on the edge of town, and everyone has to deal with that shadow. Butte strikes me as, it's an interesting place to me because it has to wear its missteps and its mistakes and its shadow self kind of on its sleeve. So it can't really hide because its successes and its failures are so blatant. So you can't deny them. I mean, it's kind of an awesome psychological condition where you can't, right? You can't, it's just all right here. So you have to deal with it. So we went to the M&M the other night and we brought our dog. And they allowed him in, and we weren't sure that it was okay, but we sat and we ordered a drink, and the cook came out from behind the counter, and he kind of tapped us on the shoulder and said, well, you know it's steak night, as though it might not be a good idea to have our dog in the M&M. And we looked sheepish, and then he said, can I give your dog some T-bones? And so we got to stay, and our dog got to stay, and he feasted on a gorgeous pile of T-bones, and hasn't ever been the same, really. He has an eye for the M&M now that he doesn't have for any other establishment. My experience so far has been that everyone I've met feels like extended family. There is a sense of family. I feel a sort of renaissance in myself, the way it feels that Butte is feeling. And it's synchronistic to be here right now. And I'm making personal commitments to go deeper with my own work, to challenge myself, to do things that I may have been avoiding in terms of my writing and my expression and my learning curve. I mean, sort of breaking through some ceilings. And I feel like Butte can provide that space and time for me because of its conditions. And, you know, it's a lower cost of living. There's a sense of support, of welcoming. So that's some of my hopes.
Yeah, I feel like the place is like, I got to live in Los Angeles when the downtown, the decrepit downtown, got infiltrated by artists, and then watched all these decrepit buildings become art lofts. And then I got to live in Chinatown in Honolulu, right, and watch Crack Alley become really the only place that the locals could have a true local experience without having pineapples and coconuts embossed on it. And I feel like coming here, I feel like it's like watching a season, like spring or fall. It's like I see the dawning of another renaissance of decay being taken over by renewal. And, you know, I always like the metaphor of artists as mushrooms who move into the worst denuded soil possible and end up creating the humus for other stuff to grow. And because nothing else wants to grow there, so the mushrooms take advantage. So I'm hoping to be a fungus on Uptown Butte.
When I first came here, which actually I took a trip here. I passed through about 2.5 years ago, and I kept thinking, what does this remind me of? What does this remind me of? And I realized just a couple days ago, it reminds me of a Greek theater, the way the whole mountain has been tiered away from with the mining, and then the giant mountains above it, and then this sort of basin, and these sort of series of stages and kind of platform spaces. And it reminds me, I got to take a trip to Greece in my early teens, and we went to Epidaurus, and it obviously impacted me because I've been in the theater ever since. And it's kind of wonderful. The Greeks had this, the Greek notion of the theater was, you know, their actors were on stage and everybody came, the entire culture came to see their theater, and the seats were tiered up, and their idea was at the very top, the gods would come, and all the Greek gods would sit at the very top, and they would watch this human endeavor. And sometimes it was tragic, and sometimes it was comic. But that's kind of what Butte reminds me of, this basin and the tiers, and then the mountains, and then there's even a Madonna at the top watching us.
So
it's kind of incredible.
Are the gods sitting on top of the mountains? And I feel like the tiers of the Berkeley Pit might be for the various demons. And
well,
that's like
what I'm
stadium
saying.
Stadium seating for.
There's a cosmology going on here that I am. I'm attracted to. So, but the look of, you know, there's something so striking because the combination of natural and then unnatural, and that kind of the paradox of it. And you can't pretend one or the other isn't there. So you have to hold it. You have to look. And it's really a kind of, you could call it a morality tale. You could call it, you know, but you can't deny the human condition. Because it's all right here staring you in the face.
Yeah, I feel like the pit is actually, like, it might be that mixed blessing thing of so many towns that might have the aesthetic of Butte have been quote unquote gentrified and taken over by Californians, and that this hasn't happened here yet because of the pit. There's something about that has kept it from being taken over by people who want a picture postcard vintage town, and that messes with the aesthetic. And I think that might be what's protected Butte from being taken over. But as more and more towns disappear, Butte is, I think, it's about integrating that monster on the edge of town.
Well, it's interesting, yeah, because there's a way, you know, people can come by and have a sort of, like, ooh, that's ugly. But on another level, it's actually, I mean, I think they're scared of it.
I think it's honest.
I think they're scared of it because it's such a strange and catastrophic thing. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like, you know, the people from, you know, it's the stereotype of the people from Los Angeles who want to come up and buy their ranch or buy their house and come up. That the houses that they own in LA probably are wired with copper out of this pit,
yeah,
but they
exactly.
don't want to look at where it came from.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, you can't, you don't, you don't get to deny. I feel like Butte really sort of, again, wears the stuff on its sleeve, and that can be really powerful and educational and revolutionary and nourishing in its own way, because you have to confront the shadow. You don't get to deny, and then you can integrate it. Mm. And that's health. That's psychic health.
Hey, good job interviewing all those guys, Clark.
Thanks. Yeah.
Really interesting. Really good questions, I thought. I know I helped you come up with some of them, but you had the most of them already done.
I just think it's a really interesting conversation, and you know, maybe I'm all starry-eyed because I'm new to town or whatever, but I'm just really interested in hearing what people think about that town. You know, I only came to know Missoula or Tulsa or any other place I live because when you live somewhere, you just constantly overhear this dialogue about where you live. And so this dialogue about Butte is really new to me, so
yeah.
I'm excited to ask people about it.
I'm really excited, too, to hear. I love, you know, shows like Antiques Roadshow and American Pickers, and I just love that kind of Americana stuff, and Butte is the epitome of that, I think. And so it's very appealing, and I love hearing those stories, especially Joe's. So far from what I've heard, that sounds really interesting.
She was very nice and very welcoming.
Aw.
At least in my first month, you know, I have this positivity that's like carrying me through the move and all the changes that have come with it and whatever. And it's only 120 miles, you know, from you and my friends here. But still, that distance is felt, I think. But anyway, everybody talks about how you got to be Butte tough, you know, to live in Butte and all that. So maybe give it a few months and my optimism will be worn down a little bit.
Well, I'll be watching out for that. But at this point, from the way it's all gone so far, I would be very surprised if that happened. And I can see it being connected to a project, but I just feel like you entering into a different community that is so rich and vibrant and growing, and you're in at the sort of the ground floor. People there would probably disagree with that, but I wonder if that has meaning to you and helps to keep you interested and keep you finding new connections, because you just recently rented a studio and you're looking at buildings and having all kinds of plans. It's pretty exciting for me to hear, even though, you know, I don't like being so far away, but I do like seeing you happy, so I think that's a good thing.
I do think I grind my teeth less. You know, I have a grinding issue, but I think it's been less, which I'm really glad about.
That is good. That's good, and I can't help but wonder exactly why that is, but it doesn't even matter because it's such a good thing.
It's kind of like, I think the deal is in Butte, you know, a lot of people come there with a lot of ideas and are not able for one reason or another, and yeah, I'm sure it's not their own fault, you know, whatever, aren't able to make them happen, you know? And I think when you're staring down, you know, a mountain of work, to renovate a building or to renovate a house or to do whatever, you know, there's a certain percentage of people that are able to see that through. And the people that live there already and have been there for decades, when they see these, you know, kids such as myself come through with all this energy and wanting to do stuff, they're kind of like, go right ahead. If you want to do it, do it. And so my response to that is, great, I'll do it, you know. And it's only because of these people that we've met with this project and that I've met now since moving there that this thing will work at all, and that I'll have enough energy to sustain it all the way through. So yeah, it's making friends, and I hope to report back frequently with more voices of people who live there so that we can all gain a better understanding of what this incredible city really is.
I'm really looking forward to that. Thanks for doing all this, Clark.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you. No. No you. This episode of In Other Words and other episodes from the past are located on inotherwordsradio.com.